Happy Wednesday, Nashville. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Should be a fun show today. Titans are on the practice field for the final time ahead of their preseason finale against the Vikings on Friday. So we'll give you updates as they come from Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Again, they'll be on the field in about an hour. I believe we'll hear from coordinators before practice. Cam Ward will speak after practice. We hope maybe we can bring that to you live, some of that to you live, but it may leak into Chasing Big Joe as Cam Ward usually comes on his press conference a little bit later than expected. But today, it is the final practice of the preseason for the Titans. Where do we stand on Cam Ward? We'll get into that. Also, it's week zero, so it's time to make way too early college football playoff predictions. We will do that in the 10 o'clock hour. And how many teams in the NFL are tanking for a quarterback? It seems like almost all of them. We will talk about that throughout the show today. Gentlemen, how are we? It's a Four's Company reunion today.
It is.
With all of us here. And Connor in the wall of the hurricane back behind.
I'm sorry. I'll try not to talk as much as possible just because I don't want Nashville to hear this just obscene wind tunnel I'm in. But it's 81 degrees in the studio right now.
It is hot. Wes in Clarksville goes, have you called Busy Bee yet? Maybe
we're getting there.
We're getting there. Honestly, in the studio, it's not that bad. Like, it's manageable in here. But for Connor out there, he's got the box fan blowing. It is hot. So we will get through it today. Excited.
Connor, what are wind speeds down on the beach?
Yeah, we got wind gusts of 50 miles an hour blowing to the left. We got rain pouring down here across the shore. And there's palm tree flying over my head.
It kind of does sound like we're going down to a live hit from a tropical storm. So
I mean, you know all about live hits when you did your sideline reporting for the Nashville
Cats.
That
is true, right, for the Cats down there at Municipal Auditorium. It was electric in there. The one time they came down to me. So should be a fun show today. Again, we'll give you updates from Titans practice as they come, the final practice of the preseason, Titans and Vikings coming up in the final week of the preseason on Friday night from Nissan Stadium. Let's get into Cam Ward here. I'm not going to, you know, the talk of the last couple days has been the scuffle with Jeffrey Simmons. I feel like that's blown over at this point. It's time to move on. Cam Ward has had an up and down training camp so far, and I think that's expected for a rookie quarterback. The number one overall pick heading into his rookie season. How do we feel after training camp where I think you've seen the flashes that made him the number one overall pick, but also you've seen some of the reasons why maybe there was talk of this not being the best year to have the number one pick?
Yeah, for Cam Ward so far this preseason and going into the finale against Minnesota, I'd say it's been serviceable. I think he's been that serviceable quarterback the Titans need just to move the ball down the field. The offensive line has been very productive for Cam, not to get touched at all in any of these preseason games. So for that to say that you have a healthy quarterback going into the season, that's a huge plus. But as for Cam Ward mechanically, from what I've seen on Connor's Twitter and Parker's Twitter and all over Titans Twitter.
You saw my Twitter?
I do, yeah. I
that's
do watch.
Nice. Yeah. Were you one of the people that didn't like me for it?
I think it was great coverage.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm the most hated man on Titans Twitter right now.
No. People just need to learn how to grow thicker skin. I don't know. But overall, like, Cam Ward looked really good in those videos. And, I mean, I get it. It's practice. You're just doing whatever. But that's what you only can base your opinion off of because it's the only action they have. So, overall, I think he's starting to build the chemistry with those wide receivers like Calvin Ridley. You know, there's been talks about that. Talks with Elk Iomanner. My biggest thing I'd like to see from Cam Ward is just to get that chemistry down with Tyler Lockett and Gunnar Helm. That's my biggest thing. I think Tyler Lockett is the safety net 2.0 behind Gunnar Helm. Gunnar Helm, obviously, everybody loves that tight end connection. But for Tyler Lockett especially, just throw between the numbers and the sideline. That's where I think Lockett has spent most of his time in the NFL. Sure, he's got a few seam routes up the middle, but that's the reason why he's been here for the longest time is because he doesn't get hurt.
He is the king of getting down before he gets hit. I would love a highlight reel of all the times Tyler Lockett just going across the middle of the field, and you know, it's like in Madden where it's like you hit the possession catch and you just dive down to the ground
spam
before
X.
You get hit. I agree with you. I think you've seen the rapport with Calvin Ridley, and that's huge because last year we were having the conversations of when are Will Levis and Calvin Ridley going to get on the same page? And it took well into the season. Ridley ended up figuring it out, I think especially after DeAndre Hopkins was gone. But it's good to see that we don't really have those issues right now, that Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley, they're on the same page. But you're right, he can't throw to Calvin Ridley on every single play. He's got to be able to find some secondary options. Tyler Lockett and Gunnar Helm, I think, are the two guys that I'm looking at, too, because Cam Ward made a living in the middle of the field during his time at Miami. Like, yeah, the balls up the sideline are great, and he made some plays off schedule rolling out of the pocket. But when he was making throws on time, it was crossing routes over the middle field, seams up the hash marks to Elijah Arroyo. That's what you need to see, and I think Helm and Lockett are going to be huge parts of Cam's development this year as those, you know, those safety blankets. And maybe Chig's involved in there too. I think you'll see those two guys as a partnership at tight end to start the season. But those guys, middle of the field, the safety valves for Cam Ward, I think that's going to be important this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned those seam routes with Gunnar Helm. We saw a little glimpse of that. It was with Brandon Allen, obviously, in the Atlanta game before, you know, halftime. But if we can see, you know, those plays with Cam Ward, like you're talking about, I mean, I think a lot of Titans fans would just turn their heads like, we have a team. We have something to cheer for.
Right. Know? And with Cam Ward, you're right. Like, it's just practice, but it is all we have to go on right now outside of the five series that he played during the preseason so far. And I do hate it, you know, but when you're on the radio every day, it's like you got to go off what you're seeing that day. And Cam Ward has had bad days in training camp. He's had days where he's thrown multiple picks. And I think that's the one thing that's concerned me the most is that it doesn't – and I'm not out there watching, so I don't know if he's making the same mistakes leading to interceptions over and over. But there haven't been a whole lot of clean days. It feels like at least every single practice you're seeing one tweet of, all right, Cam Ward was intercepted again, which is fine. It's practice, and we've talked about it pretty much since he got drafted, of like, he's going to test the limits of what he can do. But it is about when he does hit the field in Mile High in just over 2 weeks, is he going to have learned from the mistakes that have led to him throwing, I would say, probably a dozen interceptions so far in training camp?
I mean, looking at that and hearing that, to me, I wonder if it's more experiments in practice than actual natural mistakes is going through your true progressions. I think we've heard Callahan mention what, you know, Cam Ward can try to get away with in practice. So for me, those are experiments when it comes to a quarterback trying to test things out. As for the interceptions, I'm with you on that. It does concern me. I think that's to be expected, right? Like, I don't think we're going to see anything different in week one than we are seeing in the preseason. I think he's going to throw two picks. I think that's probably the good number for him in week one.
It wouldn't shock me. And I know it's stupid because one debut has nothing to do with the other debut, but let's not overreact if he doesn't have a four-touchdown game. Because, again, Will Levis and Marcus Mariota both had four touchdowns in their debut, and it didn't work out. I'm not, again, one has nothing to do with the other. But if he goes, let's say, 15 for 28 for 175 yards and two interceptions against Denver, realize that it's his first real game in the NFL, and Denver has a really good defense. That's a tough place to go play, especially early in the season. Not trying to make excuses for him already, but like, one game isn't going to define Cam Ward's career, but you would like to see that he has learned from some of the mistakes that he's made so far in training camp. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I have a question for everybody out there. I wanted to, when I first was planning the show, I was going to say, let's grade Cam Ward's training camp and preseason, but I feel like that's, oh, wow. Connor Newt just putting some big news. L'Jarius Sneed is practicing today.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll get to our question about Cam Ward in a second. L'Jarius Sneed
rap sheet
is back on the practice field today, according to Ian Rappaport. Let's see. Trying to find the tweet. There you go. Big news for the Titans. Cornerback L'Jarius Sneed has passed his physical and will participate in practice in a limited capacity today. So, L'Jarius Sneed coming off the PUP list. There was the conversation with Brian Callahan yesterday of when could L'Jarius Sneed be around? He said, maybe tomorrow. But he also said, in terms of week one, we'll see. So, L'Jarius Sneed is going to practice today. Big news. We will continue to talk about that. But my question about Cam Ward, instead of grading him, because that's so, it's so subjective, and it's a lot of it is based on what you thought of Cam Ward coming into training camp. So, my question is, do you think that Cam Ward has looked better or worse or the same as you expect? Do you feel better or worse about the pick since the beginning of training camp? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, before we get out of this first segment, I wanted to lead the show with this. Jeff Hem came on with us yesterday. Raynel Delgado hit for the cycle last night for the Sounds.
Did he really?
Yes. So I believe Jeff said it was like the first time in 45 seasons, only the fourth time in franchise history that a cycle has been hit for the Sounds. So Raynel Delgado hit for the cycle last night. Maybe Jeff should come on the show all the time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just wanted to shout that out for the Sounds. Started a series over there at First Horizon Park last night against Louisville. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to chime in, we appreciate your texts and calls. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, my question for you. Do you feel better or worse about Cam Ward than you did at the beginning of training camp? We will get to our answers coming up. And also, L'Jarius Sneed is on the practice field today as he comes off the PUP list. We will talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
Kelly, what is the plan with L'Jarius? Is there any hope that he can get start working his way, clear the physical this week, or what's the schedule looking for him?
Yeah, there's some hope that's the case. You know, maybe by we'll see where he's at tomorrow. I think one more time, and then there's a chance that happens pretty soon. But I'm refraining from any definitive statements on it for the moment. But I'm hopeful that happens soon.
Well, Brian Callahan was hopeful that L'Jarius Sneed could come off the PUP list soon, and he did. Just announced, the Titans announcing just minutes ago, the Titans have activated cornerback L'Jarius Sneed from the team's physically unable to perform list. This move means Sneed has passed a physical, and he is able to return to practice. So, L'Jarius Sneed, the big trade from last offseason, got a high price extension. Missed all but five games last year. He is back on the practice field today. Ian Rappaport reporting in a limited capacity. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton, next man up. 102.5 The Game. Again, we are asking for your thoughts on Cam Ward's training camp on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Do you feel better or worse about Cam than you did at the beginning of training camp? But L'Jarius Sneed activated off the PUP list. I think it's a big deal for the Titans, not as much because I think L'Jarius Sneed is going to be a huge impact player, but he is a body in that cornerback room who you feel like can at least give you some sort of quality reps when you get to the regular season because you don't have a ton of them in that cornerback room. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. obviously is expected to take a big step in year two. Roger McCreary's proven himself to be a really good nickel in this league. But then you got Daryl Baker, who knows, and a bunch of young guys behind him who it's like you're hoping that they can end up being quality players, but you don't know. You need L'Jarius Sneed if that cornerback room is going to be any kind of productive this year, and we'll see how long it takes him to actually get back out for a game on the field in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see another body out there on the field. Obviously, yesterday was their last full padded practice of the preseason, so today it's probably just uppers and a helmet. So it's an easy transition for him to go from off the field to on the field. You're kind of going through walkthroughs to the most part. Like you're saying, giving your input into certain coverages, certain, you know, I guess, situations in the game. That's primarily what he's out there for today. But, yeah, if he can be a serviceable body for the next couple weeks, I still think it'll take him till week three to get truly acclimated. Because if you've taken all this time off just to recover from an injury and also some other off-the-field issues, I don't know what type of shape you're in. Kind of with T'Vondre Sweat, the guy has the tonsils taken out. You don't know what type of situation he's in. So for Sneed, just my gut feeling, pretty sure he's probably lost a little bit of some muscle mass. And, I mean, sure, mentally you're probably still sharp up here. It's more about your physical attribute.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's been working on a side field, but it's hard to imagine that he is in football shape after not playing in a game or practicing since October of last year. Late September when the Colts game happened. So I don't know if it's realistic to expect LeJarius Sneed to be starting week one, but you would hope by week two or week three that he is ready to go full speed. Maybe week one you could get him out there for some of the snaps, depending on how he looks over the next couple of weeks. Again, Ian Rapoport saying he's going to practice in a limited capacity. Maybe that has something to do with it's not a fully padded practice, so they're going to kind of ease him back in. You're not going to see him on Friday night, obviously, against the Vikings. I think it'll be what he does leading up to week one, and it wouldn't shock me if it's a did not practice, limited practice on Friday, and he's listed as questionable for Sunday, and they make a game-time decision. But it is good to see that, at long last, LeJarius Sneed will be back on the practice field for the first time in nearly a year. 9064 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, knee soreness inbound. Him and Traylon made of the same brittle bones. He goes, in all caps, they need some whole milk in that locker room. Yes, it's not a bad point. I think LeJarius Sneed, you're happy to see that he's back on the practice field, but it's also a wonder of like, all right, when's the next injury going to pop up? Because you feel like he's not going to be able to stay healthy for an entire season.
Yeah, and you made a good point earlier about, you know, he'll probably practice throughout all the weeks and throughout, you know, the regular season. He might be questionable going into Sunday's game, and then they'll put him in as not active. Like, I could see that being the case of a ramping up process for him. And for the Titans to kind of just keep media off their case for the most part when it comes to LeJarius Sneed. And it's just an easy, I wouldn't say cop out, but an easy way to just kind of ease the pressure on him.
Right. And I don't think they're going to rush him back because, again, I don't even know if when he comes back and he is fully healthy, do you expect him to be a top line cornerback? I think you expect him to be better than what you have behind him, but I don't know if there's any need to really rush him back when I don't know if it's really going to be more than a marginal difference than a Daryl Baker for now. And maybe once LeJarius Sneed gets back into a rhythm, he can find some of what he had in Kansas City. I'm not saying he can never be a good cornerback again, but I would guess at least the first couple of weeks, there might be some growing pains, some speed bumps for LeJarius Sneed as he works his way back. And, you know, I mean, he may struggle to start off the season. You hope that eventually he can get back to being a solid corner. And if you can run out a secondary of LeJarius Sneed, Jarvis Brownlee, Roger McCreary, Imani Hooker, and Xavier Woods, that's not a horrible five out there once LeJarius Sneed actually starts to get back into football shape, which you would expect may take till late September, maybe early October.
Yeah, I look at the, you know, defense, especially the cornerbacks, as the quarterback of the defense, like when you look at pay-wise and all that, because this is a passing run league. I mean, it's all driven through the passing game. And if you don't have serviceable cornerbacks, you're not going to be good. And I think when it comes to the Titans, you're probably going to have your offense outscore teams because your defense can't hold up their other end of the bargain. That's simply that. To LeJarius Sneed, like you're saying, I think weeks 3 and 4 is probably the true timetable of a fully healthy cornerback.
Right.
And if you can kind of get a little bit of production out of some of those guys like Gabe Judy-Lally, those low-end tier corners, that's where you got to look at. Because if you can get those guys to work and get probably, let's see, a small fraction out of them, you might have some, maybe sneak out a win or two in weeks 1 and 2. Maybe.
Right. And you look at the preseason game against Atlanta on Friday, and I'm watching and I'm seeing Gabe Judy-Lally making some plays. Marcus Harris looked good, the rookie out of Cal they picked in the 6th round. But you have to take it with the caveat of it was Easton Stick and David Sills V out there that were, you know, trying to move the football. And they did move the football for a little bit there. So you take it with a grain of salt of like, all right, these guys look like they could be capable players. But what are they going to do in week 2 if it's Matthew Stafford, which who knows with Matthew Stafford? It could be Jimmy Garoppolo. If it's Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua out there, do you feel confident putting your 6th round pick out of Cal on the field and saying, go guard that guy? I don't know.
That'll be tough. I mean, you know, Matthew Stafford's been dealing with that little back injury, so we'll see what happens with that. But, hey, don't forget about Kendall Brooks, by the way. Hey, I heard that subtle, you know, missing out on Kendall Brooks. What's going on here?
I'm not expecting Kendall Brooks to be on the 53.
Yeah, I know.
Who knows?
That's a good joke.
Maybe he could. I mean, As Brian Callahan said in his victory speech, was that the first pick six ever in a preseason game, or first pick six in a preseason game in a long time for the Titans? So, you know, props to Kendall Brooks.
Jalen Kimber had a pick yesterday, too, in practice.
Yeah, I saw your tweet.
Dad followed me on Twitter afterwards.
There you go. Yeah, Cam Ward. That was his lone pick of the day, though.
It was.
I know you said it was an up-and-down day for Cam Ward. He'll be out on the practice field coming up in about 30 minutes. Final preseason practice for the Titans ahead of their final preseason game on Friday night against the Minnesota Vikings. 615-737-1025. News this morning, L'Jarius Sneed is back on the practice field. He has passed his physical and been activated off the PUP list. Good news for the Titans. We'll see how quickly he is able to acclimate and get ready to go for the season, which is now just over 2 weeks away. So my question to you this morning, everybody out there, 615-737-1025, do you feel better, worse, or the same about Cam Ward than you did at the beginning of training camp? Let us know. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll give our answers coming up next. Also, we will give our college football playoff predictions ahead of week zero coming up in the 10 o'clock hour and much more. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you on this Wednesday. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you on this Wednesday. Titans getting ready to take the practice field for the final time ahead of their preseason finale on Friday, taking on the Vikings at Nissan Stadium. They'll be wearing the light blue jerseys. Heard Connor and Robbie get into that at the end of their show. Their new home, I guess these are their standard jerseys now. They don't wear the navies anymore. It's the Titans blue that they announced this year. So
not going to get into it.
We won't get into that. But we'll see it on Friday night against the Vikings. My question to everybody out there, how do you feel about Cam Ward? Do you feel better than you did at the beginning of training camp? Do you feel worse than you did at the beginning of training camp? We'll get to all of your answers in a second. 615-737-1025. Nick Frazier, it's been about a month now since training camp opened. Yeah, right around a month. Do you feel better about Cam Ward or do you feel worse about Cam Ward as we head towards the regular season?
I feel better. Like I said before, I think he's building chemistry with the wide receivers and tight ends, but primarily I think he's growing as a quarterback. The only issue I have is the way he can regress is if there's too many cooks in the kitchen, if too many people are talking to him and it just a lack of translation or a mix of translation. That's what would just deter me from saying he's growing as a quarterback. But as of right now, I think he's on the right track to – be a really good quarterback for this team. I think he can. I think too about being a leader. That's something that Cam is really starting to be more comfortable with, taking initiative. And obviously the whole scuffle with Jeffrey Simmons, that goes to show that the offense has his back. He has their back. To me, that just shows true leadership. So I think he's growing as a true pro.
Connor Newt, I know you're in the wind tunnel down there, but how do you feel? You've been out there at practice. Do you feel better or do you feel worse about Cam Ward?
I feel about the same. I think he looks the part. He looks like a first-round pick at some points, and then other times he looks bad. And I kind of expect that from a rookie quarterback. You know, he's not going to be consistent. He's not, I think we've said this before, Jake, he's not an elite prospect, in my opinion. And by elite prospect, I mean he's not...
He's not Andrew Luck.
Yeah, he's not Andrew Luck. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not Trevor Lawrence coming out of college. He was the number one pick for a reason, and I think he's kind of showing you flashes of that, especially in these preseason games, but he also will make some mistakes, and that's what I expect out of a rookie quarterback. I don't know. I expect him to be a solid quarterback for them this season, so I kind of feel the same about him.
I would say I feel a little bit worse. Not a lot worse, and not like waving any red flags, but I was high on Cam Ward coming out. Our Saturday show, I was praising the tape, saying everybody wants to trade the pick needs to shut up. We want Cam Ward here in Nashville. And I still feel good about Cam Ward's long-term future with the Titans. But I would say that it's been a little shakier than I would have expected coming in. You know, there's been some days where he's completing less than 50% of his passes in practice. And I think there's been too many interceptions the preseason games, there's been the flashes, the great throws like we saw to Alec Eimanner on the run, the Van Jefferson drop. Like, there's been the flashes of that's what we saw in college, but there's also been a little too much inconsistency. I get it, he's a rookie, and I'm not saying that I have completely changed my tune on Cam Ward, but I would say I feel a little bit worse about where he is right now compared to where I expected him to be. And maybe that's my high expectations for Cam Ward, because I really did like him coming out of Miami, and I still do like him as the long-term prospect for the Titans as a franchise quarterback, but it is, I think I feel a little bit worse, just a little bit.
So if he would have had, let's say, two or three less interceptions in practice, maybe one perfect practice for you, like a clean practice,
I mean,
would you have felt a little better about that, or what?
I think if he just had more days, like we talk about stacking days, I think if he could put together a week where it's like he's taking care of the football a little bit better, and we weren't hearing about, man, all right, Cody Barton has another pick in this practice, and it's like, oh, he's not getting the ball out of bounds. Like, I feel like there's just been a little bit more mental errors than I expected from Cam Ward. And again, I'm not worried about it. This isn't something where I'm like, man, the Titans may not have their guy. I still believe that they have their guy in Cam Ward, but I think he has a little bit more work to do than I thought. And I think maybe the first month of the season might be a little bit rough. And I think Titans fans out there need to expect that there's going to be some mistakes. And especially with the early part of that schedule with the Broncos and Rams, I think it will help him in the long run facing those teams, because they are two of the best defenses in the league. But if it doesn't look perfect, I think that's just because, I mean, he is a rookie. And it's his first, he's getting thrown into the fire, and he's getting his feet wet. And I think he'll learn from that, but I also am not expecting him to go and light the world on fire in September. I think you just hope that the growth from September to December shows that he's on the right path for next year and years to come.
Maybe I'm just a little more, I guess, too optimistic about this. I just look at the offensive line and Cam Ward, that chemistry, especially from, like, I've probably stressed this way too much, but the center-quarterback combination. You have a guy in Corey Levin currently that is taking snaps from this offensive line. Obviously, Lloyd Cushenberry, he warmed up with the team their last, you know, preseason game, probably is going through walkthroughs or whatever this week. But as a rookie quarterback, you have to build chemistry with both of those guys. And so the fact that you're probably transitioning from Corey Levin to Lloyd Cushenberry now, and you're just having these mistakes, I'd call that a success. I really would. I just, there's a lot of, I guess, nuances about the game that kind of goes under the radar. And that's one of them for me, that if you don't have a good combination between your center and quarterback, nothing's really going to succeed.
I would say that the one thing that has impressed me the most in training camp is the offensive line play. I mean, Cam Ward, he's played five series in the preseason and hasn't really even been breathed on. Like, the offensive line has done a great job protecting Cam Ward. Again, against backups. Like I said, the same thing about the young cornerbacks, and like they've looked good, but against backups. This is your first team offensive line. They're facing the third and fourth edge rushers for the Falcons and Bucks, and the third and fourth defensive tackles. So take it with a grain of salt. But I do really like that the offensive line, you put all that investment into it, and it does seem like they look like a competent group, which is exactly what you need with a young quarterback. We saw Caleb Williams get sacked 68 times last year. Part of that's on him, too. But I do like that we've seen Cam Ward hasn't been touched. That's not going to stay the same once we get to the regular season. The last thing you want is, like Anthony Richardson, free rusher off the edge, coming and lighting him up. Partially his fault for not changing the protection. But Cam Ward has not had to take a big hit yet, and that's a big deal when you get through the preseason.
Yeah, and sticking with the offensive line for a second, you know, if I'm the Titans, and obviously I'm not a coach, but I would just stick with Cody Levin for the most part, like, if you can.
Yeah.
Because Lloyd Cushenberry, like, to be honest with you, an Achilles, terrible, terrible injury. I think you just need to let him heal a little bit more. I know he's had all this time off, but just ease it a little bit. Pump the brakes. Team's not that great. Let's be honest. Overall perspective, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just take it easy.
That's kind of what we said with L'Jarius Sneed. Not that I think Sneed is part of the long-term plan for this team, but like, if Sneed misses a game or two, or if Cushenberry has to miss a game or two, I feel like it's better to not risk them missing the whole season for a game against the Broncos that, to be honest, you're probably not going to win anyway.
Right.
Like, going on the road, the Broncos are one of the toughest teams to beat in September because of, I mean, it's Mile High. You're maybe not full-on in mid-season football shape, and you got to go out there and play in the thin air. It's a tough place to go win. And if Lloyd Cushenberry, if you think that you can get him to 100% ready to roll for week two, I'm fine with Corey Levin for 1 week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A couple of your answers. Our question, do you feel better, worse, or the same about Cam Ward than you did at the beginning of training camp? Mike in Lebanon says, I'm not worried about Cam. I'm worried about another year with the lack of talent on the team. We still have no depth, still trying to rebuild after J-Rob decimated the team. It's fair, and that's why the team's not going to be very good this year. I don't know if you'll be able to look back if the Titans win 4 or 5 games this year and say it was Cam Ward's fault. I think it's going to be that there's no depth at corner, no depth at edge, no depth at wide receiver, and those are three of the most important positions in football. 0689 says, and that's Eddie in California, he says, I don't feel better. Did you see that underhand throw yesterday? I see a lot of turnovers this season. Wasn't that during like a drill? Like, it wasn't.
My question is, how did you see that underhanded throw? Because there's no video being put in.
No, I saw a video yesterday.
It was probably a pass drill.
It wasn't in like 7-on-7 or a team drill. It was literally like those drills where they hand it off, somebody tosses them a football and they roll. He went like under the legs and underhand to somebody. Like, it's a drill. Like,
I will say Cam was very up and down yesterday. Like, he was very inaccurate from deep, but I don't know what video you're talking about.
I saw the video that he's referring to, but it was in like a casual quarterback's drill.
Like a nonchalant.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be pulling out the between the legs underhand flip in the game. And if he does, Brian Callahan should rip him off the field the second he does. So I'm not really worried about that. Brian says, in regards to Cam, I probably feel a little bit worse at this point, but it's not because of him. I just have no hope in Callahan coaching him up. I feel like he's doing more harm than good to him. And I don't know if we'll really know the impact of Brian Callahan on Cam Ward till the end of this season, or if things go south earlier, if Callahan gets let go before that. But it was a great article put out yesterday by Jeremy Fowler and Teron Davenport looking at the pitfalls that we've seen from the last couple of number one picks at quarterback. And I thought Charles Robinson made a very good point at the end of his appearance on Robbie and Rex Road today of 18 first overall pick quarterbacks, only 6 of them have stuck with their head coaches. Like, that relationship has only been a success 6 times. And recently, it's been pretty much none of them. Pretty much, if you are the head coach of a first overall pick quarterback, pack your bags because you're not going to last very long. They gave Brian Callahan another chance, and he's going to be able to try and develop Cam Ward. But if things go south, yeah, we know who's getting blamed. It's Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, we'll continue to talk about our impressions of Cam Ward after about a month of training camp. Do we feel better? Do we feel worse? You can text us 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun in Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up, 1025 The Game. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinetics Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you on this Wednesday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. We've been asking the question, do you feel better or worse about Cam Ward than you did at the beginning of training camp? We kind of are all across the board. Nick says a little better, I say a little worse, and Connor says just about the same. Pretty much everybody on the text line is around the same. Scott from Franklin says, I won't say I feel the same regarding Cam Ward as the first overall pick, or I would say I feel about the same regarding Cam Ward as the first overall pick and as the Titans quarterback. Cautiously optimistic that he could suddenly become Jaden Daniels, but more realistic that he met a need for the Titans in a fairly weak quarterback class. Bonus comment, as a Georgia Southern alum, I'm very glad that Daryl Baker Jr. is a Titan. He may not be a starter on most NFL teams, but he's a good insurance piece that can generally hold the fort down. There you go. Georgia Southern, shout out Daryl Baker representing. Are they the Eagles out
there? They are the Eagles, yeah. They ran the triple option offense way back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had a coach that went to Georgia Southern. He was like left guard.
Gotcha.
Pretty good.
Is that where, like, Cole Swindell went? He wears the GS mm-hmm. hat? Okay, that's what I thought.
That's right.
I always mix up Georgia Southern and Georgia State. I think Scott from Franklin makes a good point that I think everybody around the Titans fan base, it's like you have that cautious optimism just in the back of your mind of, like, what if Cam Ward is Jaden Daniels? Like, what if this year is the year and Cam Ward just lights it up? He's the offensive rookie of the year, and this team is in the playoff conversation. More realistically, I think the Titans had the number one overall pick. There was one quarterback who the league deemed was worthy of the number one pick, and you took him. And this kind of gets into where I want to go in the final hour, so we'll tease it a little bit here. But it seems like it's worked out for the Titans that you got the number one pick, and you got the guy you feel is your quarterback. And now the entire league needs a quarterback. And we'll go through those teams later on. The Colts are one of them, and after yesterday, when they named Daniel Jones their starter, Anthony Richardson's time in Indy likely is waning. I would say he's going to finish out the year. They're not going to trade him. They're not going to cut him. But I would guess that next year he is no longer wearing an Indianapolis Colts uniform. Begs the question, like, the Titans may be, and they may have had the number one pick last year, but are they the worst team in their division anymore? I don't know if you can say that they are. Like, the Colts roster is fine. I don't think it's the worst roster in the league, but you're running Daniel Jones out there all season. And then the Jaguars, it's like, yeah, there's the flash there. You got Travis Hunter. You got Brian Thomas Jr. Trevor Lawrence, who knows? But outside of that, is that roster that good? Is it top heavy with some of those star pieces that you look at and say, they got some really good players, but what else do they have? I'm not saying the Titans could finish second in the division, but I don't know if they're going to be in the cellar this year, despite all of the deficiencies that are currently on this team.
Yeah, you could say it could be a battle for the bottom, if you want to look at it that way. I'm with you. I think the Titans are that fringe third team in the AFC South that could be teetering third or second. I just look at the Colts as kind of giving up on Anthony Richardson too soon. I really do. I think he was a young quarterback, obviously, coming into the NFL. I think I heard this morning Charles Robinson said he has a problem with the cadence, getting the right cadence down. Like, by then, you should have it down.
Right.
I just think the system that Indianapolis runs is very pocket passing style, and that doesn't fit AR-15. It doesn't fit him. So I think he'd be better off in another situation, maybe out in L.A. in some regard for when Stafford's done. Maybe look at him as a second option. I don't know. As for the Texans, I think they're obviously front runners. You go and get Jaden Higgins in the draft, that Noel kid as well.
Yeah, they have all the Iowa State receivers.
Yeah, so they've loaded up on offense. Defensively, they look pretty solid as well. And then you look at, you know, Jacksonville. You mentioned it. Core pieces, but do they have enough? And I think the Titans, if you look at them and compare the Jags, I think the Titans have a little bit more of those core pieces that are well-rounded. Whereas I think you see, you know, the Jags as more of a face value of core pieces.
Matthew in Nashville makes a good point. The Jags kicker can hit 70-yard field goals. Don't forget that. It's a good point. They get across midfield. They have a chance to put 3 points on the board. So who knows? I just don't know what this division is going to look like. Because, yeah, you're right. The Texans, I think it's pretty safe to say they're probably going to win the division. But are they like a world beater, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, who are competing to go to the Super Bowl? I don't think so. I think they're just better than the rest. But I don't think there's any configuration of 2-3-4 that would shock me. I think the one that would shock me the most is if the Titans finish second. I don't know if they're good enough to be better than both the Jags and Colts. But outside of that, like, there's not really anybody could finish anywhere outside of, I think the Texans are going to be the winner in the division.
Yeah, I look at the Colts. I think the only thing holding them back is Daniel Jones's accuracy in the passing game.
Yeah.
If he can connect on passes, I think they would be, for me, a front runner at finishing second in the AFC South. And then it'd be a battle for the bottom between the Titans and the Jags at that point. I think that's how I see it on paper. I mean, it could be completely different. Literally, it all depends on Daniel Jones's accuracy.
Right, and we never know in the NFL. Like, every year we talk about that, there's always a team that goes from worst to first in the NFL. So it's like that. You really never know heading into the season. I just don't see a lot of reasons for optimism here, obviously. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. I think Jacksonville probably feels the best because it's like, we do have Travis Hunter, and we do feel good that our quarterback at the very least is serviceable. But who really knows what the rest of that team's going to look like? You mentioned with Anthony Richardson about it, it seems like it's all of the simple stuff that he's not able to grasp. It's like he can make the throws that no one else can make, but it was very apparent in that first preseason game when he got hurt that, like, he had no idea what to do when the Ravens sent six. They sent six guys. And Charles Robinson said this on Robbie and Rex Road today of, like, he had two options. You either let that guy come free and throw it right over his head to one of your hot routes because there were two guys wide open over there, or you change the protection and make sure there isn't a free rusher just coming straight at you. He did neither, and he got rocked. And that's stuff that can't happen as a third-year quarterback in this league.
You can't do that. And I was curious, I was looking up online while you were talking, if Frank Reich was his head coach when they drafted him. It was Shane Steichen. So
Frank Reich was Bryce Young's head coach when they drafted him.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the Colts just have a quarterback issue in trying to fit what system they want to use. That's just their biggest issue, is they have to settle on a system and then find the quarterback for it. It just seems like they have the right system they want, but they don't have the right quarterback. The timeline never lines up for them.
And we'll talk more about maybe some of the other teams that could be trying to draft a quarterback this year. Matthew in Nashville also asks, how much faith do you have in the Texans' offensive line, though, for them to finish first? Mason and Tunsil are both gone. I believe four of their five guys on that offensive line, maybe even all five, are different this year. So that is a big question, too. I think the one thing we can say about the AFC South is it's going to be a bad division. It really is. Let's quickly go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line wanting to chime in. Trey, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I believe that the national media pundits was actually telling the truth. And they were telling the truth 3 or 4 months before the draft when they said that Cam Ward comparable with Tyrod Taylor. Okay, granted, Tyrod Taylor has a pretty good ball. Okay, now they're trying to say that he needs work. Okay, so what is it? You know, what are we going to get out of this guy? You know, I'm just being, you know, truthful and honest, just like the other Titans fans. We haven't seen anything. A flash here, flash there. I don't know what we're going to get. And what do y'all think? I hope in 10 games we're at 50%. You know, we'll be at 50%. But I don't know what y'all think. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Trey. I heard that comparison, too, about Tyrod Taylor. And first off, no Tyrod Taylor slander here. But Tyrod was a fifth or a sixth round pick, I want to say, to the Ravens, and didn't even play until his fourth or fifth year. So you can't make the comparison based on the player. I think they're talking more about the style of the way that they played. And if you remember, Tyrod Taylor with the Bills, the year that they finally went back to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years or whatever it was, like, that style is what they were comparing it to, of he's a mobile guy, but he's not Lamar Jackson. And he can make a lot of throws on the run, can be kind of creative with his arm angles. Like, I think that's the comparison they were making. I don't think they're saying he's going to be Tyrod Taylor, because obviously those guys are drafted with different expectations and are going to get very different opportunities in the league.
Yeah, it's hard to make that comparison. You know, I look at another tease into the later, you know, looking at Lenore Sellers and all those young prospects. I look at Lenore Sellers as a little bit like that, as the Lamar Jackson-esque, Russell Wilson-esque,
yeah,
that kind of quarterback play art. So as for Tyrod Taylor, yeah, it's hard to make that comparison.
Right. And I hate making comparisons to these young quarterbacks. It's like all the stuff came out about Steve McNair, too, of like comparing the Air McNair, H-E-I-R. It's like, let's not put that pressure on him. And I agree, if you look, like there could be some similarities to the way Steve McNair played. But Cam Ward is going to be whoever Cam Ward is going to be. You can't compare a guy to the style and expect the same exact results of their NFL career because they're different players and they're going to get different opportunities and see different things during their NFL career. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts on the Titans, we will get more into the Titans throughout the show as they hit the practice field in the next couple minutes for the final practice before their preseason finale against the Vikings on Friday. But when we come back, it is week zero in college football. We have real live college football just 3 days away. So, naturally, we have to make way too early predictions on what's going to happen at the end of the season. Nick Frazier and I have come up with our 12 playoff teams, gone through the bracket, and we have picked a champion. We will do that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton.